Welcome back to the Lost Joystick Network. Episode 51. There's no 50. There's no cake.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's snickerdoodle.
We do have cake. Well.
Yeah. We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
I'm your host, Mike. Joined always by my co-host, Jay. Jay, how you doing, buddy?
I am fantastic.
Good.
How are you, Michael?
Good. Equally, I want to say equally as fantastic, but I'm not sure if I am as fantastic as you are. I'm doing good, though. It's not bad.
I was going to yell at you here in the beginning.
What? No, because of the
drink. That would have been something you would have yelled at me about.
I thought it was a funny sound, actually.
And that actually would have been something I normally would do. And
yeah,
you did it. So you kind of stole my thunder.
Yeah.
So maybe I should yell at you for stealing my thunder.
Stop yelling at me.
Okay.
Anyway, how have your weeks been, Jay?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah?
Haven't been doing much, just kind of working, doing stuff around the house, getting the house ready. We always host for Father's Day, and of course, Deegan's birthday.
Ah, yeah.
Falls around the same time.
Is it the 19th?
It's 19th.
Yeah.
So.
Look at me.
We always do like the little family thing. We do kind of a split Father's Day, and.
I got a secret.
What's that?
Friday is Robbie's birthday.
I don't think it's a secret anymore.
Nobody's listening. Anyway. Cool.
Does it help when we talk real quiet?
No, it doesn't help with anything, honestly. It really probably causes more problems, other than the people who have headphones. You know, assuming anybody listens to this, which I know they don't.
The best is you went, cool, super loud. So that means when we were whispering, somebody's going to turn the volume up on their stereo really loud and they're listening to it on the podcast.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be like blaring and then they're going to get cool. And it's going to be like, rah!
Yeah, it's a trolling podcast now is what we do.
Yes.
That's my move.
Yes.
So, all right. Cool. That's it. Get prepping for Father's Day. Deegan's birthday, what, 20?
Yeah, 20.
20, yeah, yeah. I got a 20-year-old in my house now, so, too.
Yeah, Deegan's stepping out of the teenage years, and McKenna will be a teenager in a couple months.
Wow.
She hits 13.
We're old.
Yep. Isn't that kind of the the tagline of our show is two old dudes talking about video games?
Your son is now older than you were when you and I were first friends.
Yeah.
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 So, just to...
We are old.
I know. It's cool. We're good.
So, he hung out. We listened to music the other day.
Yeah, yeah.
That was nice.
Nice.
So, fun little story. I know we stopped at a record store. We went to the Tigers game a few weeks back. I had gotten those
for a little while.
But I had gotten my mom had gotten me tickets for my birthday, and you went with me. And we, what was it? Oh, we stopped at...
Retro Taku, and we stopped at the Dearborn Music in Farmington.
Farmington.
They have the new location in Farmington.
And we were just kind of thumbing through, wasting some time, and remember we saw the NF record, and I was like, oh, Deegan likes this dude. And I had mentioned something about him, just kind of a funny little quippy story, but I had mentioned something. I said, oh, yeah, I saw an NF record. And he said, which one was it? And I told him, and he says, oh, I got that one. I said, oh, okay, cool. Good, I didn't buy it for you anyways. But
it didn't matter.
Funny story. So we're, of course, from the Flint area, Flint, Michigan.
Yeah.
Whoever's listening to this around the world. The NF guy that he likes is actually from Gladwin.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is a very small, for people that aren't from Michigan, of course, it's a very small kind of podunky northern lower Michigan town.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's from
Gladwin. Is it South Detroit? Would you consider that South Detroit?
A little farther north.
I know. It's I know where Gladwin is. My brother just liked the stream there, John. So what's up, buddy?
Oh, hey.
Hope you're doing good. Say hi to him. Big shout out to the bro. Okay, so you got any questions for me?
Boy, do I.
Yeah, well, can you think of one?
One?
Yeah.
Yeah, how was your week?
They're good. The weeks have been good. I've spent too much time playing Tears of the Kingdom, and I had to come to grips with that yesterday, where I was like, nothing else is getting done around the house, so I kind of had to say, okay, I'm going to leave the Switch upstairs when I go downstairs to do some of the logistical stuff I need to do.
So now you just spend all your time upstairs.
Yeah, that's okay. Pretty much it. I'll just go to the bedroom and play instead. No.
Perfect.
But no, I've been playing a lot of the Tears of the Kingdom. I did have to take a little bit of a break because I'm way too into it. And it's been pretty intriguing, I will say. If you haven't played it, I'd recommend it. So
I think I might actually come up with something. I think we're going to do a swear jar for the show, but it's going to be a Tears of the Kingdom jar.
Oh, a Totk jar?
Yeah, and every time you guys talk about it, because John's already mentioned it in the chat.
Tears jar?
Yeah. Yeah. And then we'll do that. And then every time you bring it up, or John, or Clearvis, or anybody, I don't know who else plays. I know you, at least you three.
I guess the question is, what do we do with the money?
I'm going to buy a pizza with it.
Oh, okay.
Extra cheese.
Excellent. Just no anchovies.
No anchovies.
So, no, everything's been good. Works okay. One of the coworkers that I absolutely adored left, and that was unfortunate. So,
it's a shame.
Yeah, it's too bad, but, you know, life goes on, and I'm sure that we'll stay in touch, and just a good person, and it's just too bad. So, but other than that, no one wants to hear about my boring work crap. Life has been good otherwise, other than the hectic hell week for Amy, which means moderately hell week for me, trying to make sure that she gets what she needs. So that's pretty much it.
Nice.
So what do you think we should do next?
Yeah, I think we should.
What?
We should talk about maybe some collections of stuff.
What would you call that?
Probably a collecting update. Forgot we tried to take the goat out of that.
Yeah. So, time for the collecting update. Jay, what do you got?
Nothing. Yeah. Well, we went over to Kyle's. I grabbed a couple games over there.
That's something. What are they?
Yeah, I got, what was it? Resident Evil for the PS5.
Village, yes.
Yes, the Village.
Yep.
And I got a Dragon Ball game. I figured I'd give it a whirl and see what it was like.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Don't you have a Switch?
I do.
This is a game I think you should try on the Switch.
Oh, we're getting that jar.
It's called Friday Night Kegger.
Mm. I got a game you should try. Don't you have a Switch?
Yeah, it's really just a Tears of the Kingdom delivery device, really. Oh, okay. Is all it is. I don't know if it plays anything else. I've never tried.
I was going to recommend a game called Metroid Dread.
Yeah, no, I don't have time for that.
Didn't you buy that, like, I don't know, 2 years ago and you still haven't played it?
I mean, probably, yeah.
It's probably still sealed, isn't it?
No, I opened it and played it.
You haven't played it.
I did.
For what, 20 minutes?
I think I played it for at least an hour. You can look on my Nintendo Online profile when we're friends. You're friends now. You could look.
Look right now.
Yeah, take a look. I'll bet you it's an hour. I hope. About an hour is probably what it will say. Anyway. All right. So you've gotten nothing.
No, not really.
You picked up nothing other than you got the PS5 games.
Yeah.
All right. My updates are fairly short. I have purchased a lot recently, but really most of it has been importing stuff from Japan for the show. We're doing VGS on July 8th in McCook, Illinois.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I'm going to be doing that show. I've just been getting ready, getting prepped, a lot of Super Famicom stuff, as I am one to do. But also, I grabbed some PC Engine and PC Engine CD, Super CD stuff as well. So I'm going through that. Nothing of major consequence. The biggest one is Dynastic Hero, which I think we talked about last time.
Yeah.
But I might keep that. I don't know. I don't think I'll ever.
Why would you keep it?
It's actually a fun game, and it's super rare on the Turbo, so it's like almost like this. I would never play the US version unless it was on an emulator or something, or a Never Drive. So I don't know if I will or not. I don't know. It's not that expensive. It's like a $70 game. People buy it.
You might have something that you could play it on eventually, though.
I already have something I can play it on.
But you could have something else.
Something new?
Yeah.
The Duo?
We talked about it last time.
I know, we talked about it. But yeah, so, yeah. The controllers will be here soon. I ordered those.
Those the Bluetooth controls?
Yeah, they doesn't come with any, so you got to buy.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. So here, I did buy a few things. Nothing major.
Nothing major, he says.
Today, this walked into Jerry's shop. It's a Harlequin romance about Doom.
Oh.
Doom Knee Deep in the Dead, a novel by Daffodab Hugh and Brad Linaweaver, based on Doom from id Software. So, yeah, nice little paperback. One of our friends is a big fan of that book.
Did you notice Fabio in the background running towards the guy shooting?
Well, he's also on the back of this, too. Funny you should mention Fabio, because I grabbed this from Kyle's shop. Kyle started selling some comic books. Not a big comic book guy, but a Super Mario 1 came in. It's a 9.2 CGC graded. I believe one of the reasons I purchased this is because looking at it, I feel like it could be pressed into a higher grade. It's a very nice high grade, but the corners are bent a little. There's no like ink loss or real creases. There's just indentations. You can usually get that stuff out. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm going to probably send that in I've got a guy that I deal with now that does pressing. I was kind of doing it on my own for a while, but it just takes up too much time. So I grabbed that, and I'm going to try to upgrade it a little bit.
Nice.
One of the other things I should mention along with this is I did send in a bunch of books to get graded. So I had some Nintendo Fun Clubs, Nintendo Powers, my official Nintendo Players Guide, a bunch of stuff like that. Some video game adjacent comic book stuff like Mortal Kombat, Super Mario, Zelda books. Yeah. I just sent them in to have them pressed, and then they're going straight to CGC. I feel like I'll probably do some kind of like a opening or something for it when we do it. Like I'll just pull them out, and I won't know the grades, and we'll just kind of do like a get the grades live, and we'll just do a live stream about it when I get them.
Oh, so just
there's like 30 books.
Just for clarity's sake, do those come back to you from the guy that's pressing them, or does he press them and send them to CGC?
He sent them straight to CGC. It'll probably be a couple of months at least before I get them.
Oh, okay.
And then when I get them, they'll all come back to me. It's like 30 graded books. So I'm not a huge graded book guy, but I had some really nice Nintendo Powers, and he said some of them came out really nice. I did send him my Nintendo Power 1, which I'm going to say is probably a 3.5 or 4, maybe slightly better, but not much. But he pressed it out and sent me some pictures of some of the better ones that he did. And they came out really nice. So, like I said, Mortal Kombat, there was, I don't even remember what was in the list now, but like there were Mortal Kombat comics. There were a couple of Super Mario, Captain N, that type of stuff. But also, like, mostly Nintendo Power and that kind of junk.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. And then the final thing I got was the new cornerstone of my collection. Activision Skiing.
Randy Leahy special.
CGC graded 9.0 A+. Finally. I've waited for 47, almost 48 years.
I'm going to go back to reading the Doom book.
Funny story about skiing. This game. So Retro Bobby and I, who I don't know if he's here on the chat right now or not, but he's generally around and is friend of the show. We were out driving around Columbus when we went on that big expedition for gaming, right?
Yeah.
Play games. And he said, oh, wow, the Blue Label version of skiing is like way more expensive than the regular label. And what he did not realize when he said it, I didn't realize at the time what he was saying, all Activision games are skiing are Blue Label. But they used to do an actual Blue Label that was like kind of like how they all their games looked before they went to this format for their games, like the marketing of them. Mm-hmm. So like there's a Pitfall out there. I have a copy of that's just Blue Label. It says Pitfall by Activision. Right. And he did not understand that there was also a skiing by Activision that looked like that. And he was later disappointed that he did not have the rare version. So this is not the rare version or the expensive version. It's just Activision skiing. So trying to kind of get all the Activision game mini or Activision Atari 2600 games, you know, out so I can put them out on display every once in a while. I got the core.
Let's start doing more Atari games, Activision games.
Nah, I don't know about that. So. I don't know if we want to do that. So that's really about it. I mean, it really didn't pick. I got a new phone, but nobody wants to hear about that. I got a new iPhone, so whoop-a-doo-doo. How's the book?
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, Robbie was a big fan.
I'm just kind of skimming through it.
Yeah.
I'd have to read it.
Probably want to read it later. Hey, do me a favor. Speaking of reading, why don't you read me what the show topic is?
Oh, sure.
For this week.
Let me set that book down. I don't know why I have to pick up the paper to look at the show topic.
So it's a long one.
So the show topic for this week is aptly behind us on the screens.
Yeah, yeah.
In front of us in a box and portrayed nicely on our shirts.
Nice shirt, brah.
There you go. So it is Town and Country Surf Designs, Wood and Water Rage.
Is this the longest title of a game that we've done thus far?
I think so.
That's a long title.
That is a long title.
That's not even, like, they shortened it on the box. It's so long.
Yeah.
It says, my whole life it's been TNC Surf Designs. Never once did I call it Town and Country Surf Designs as a kid.
No.
Not one time.
I actually thought it was always Town TNC until, like, probably maybe the last 10 years.
I realized it was Town and Country from collecting the set because there are checklists and all of them have the proper name of the game.
Yeah.
So I was like, what is Town and Country? Oh, it's TNC. And then now it's, yeah. Anyway. Well,
because they put both actually on the box. It says, the label says TNC Surf Designs, but the logo, the Ying Yang logo, actually says Town and Country Surf Designs.
It's a true story. It's right there.
In Hawaii? Yeah. Pearl City, Hawaii.
Pearl City, Hawaii. And that's an interesting fact about this game. That is actually a surf shop that's been there like since the 70s. Out in Hawaii.
Yeah.
So, like, when I was trying to dig up information, which wasn't exactly easy, about this game, a lot of the times I would get the actual surf shop.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, oh, NES game. Put other words in there.
NES on the
internet. You had to, or you would. So when did this game come out?
So it was released in North America, February of 1988.
It sure did.
It was a long time ago.
I don't believe this game got a release anywhere else, which no. would make sense.
It didn't seem to. Everything I saw was just in North America.
This was a very American culture-centric moment in time type game.
Well, it is Hawaii.
Yeah, Hawaii. Skate
and Surf Shop.
Well, it's a lot closer to Japan than I am.
Touché, salesman.
It's right there.
Yeah.
So maybe. Anyway, but I mean, they could have imported it, I guess, mm-hmm. if you really wanted to do it. So, yep. I'm going to call it TNC Surf Designs. I'll do it 100 times. I will not call it Town and Country Surf Designs until I die. I will only do it out of formality. So when I reference the game, I will constantly call it TNC or TNC Surf Designs.
That's fair.
What we called it. So. I'll tell you. Go ahead.
Yeah. You want to tell me about the gameplay and story?
Why don't you ask me and I'll tell you?
Yeah, do you want to tell me about the gameplay and story?
I thought you'd never ask. There's not a lot to this game, okay? I'm going to be very candid up front. This game consists of, I think I saw it best in one either review or article. This game has 2.5 modes of play. You have a skateboarding aspect to the game. Mm-hmm. And when you skateboard, I should probably start by saying, you play as Du Bois. You are Du Bois. There are four boys of Du Bois, the crew of TNC Surf Designs.
All it makes me think about is my cousin Vinny.
Yeah.
When he talks about two Utes.
Utes.
Did you say Utes? Yeah, two Utes.
Well, Du Bois are...
Sorry.
Joe Cool, the shirtless Elvis impersonator with sunglasses, who's a skateboarder.
Yes. Doing...
Yeah, he's got a mad grip. He's doing a little grab there. Cool Cat, who is a cat in a tuxedo who surfs, mm-hmm. right?
He's not on the shirt.
No, he's not on the shirt. He's not represented in the shirt. There's Thrilla Gorilla, as you can see here with the...
On the surfboard.
The radical surfboard and hat with the neck drape.
I love those hats when I was a kid.
Yeah, of course
Back
you
in
did.
The 80s, because those things were rad.
They were fucking rad.
Yeah.
And then there is Tiki Man, which, what did I tell you earlier? Tiki Man is actually the first appearance of who?
Oh, of Strong Bad.
He sure looks like Strong Bad.
He does.
Who knew that this game had such far-reaching influence? So, yes, Tiki Man, the skateboarder. So, yeah, there's skateboarding, where you can play as Joe Cool or Tiki Man, and then there is the surfing part of the game, where you can play as Thrilla Gorilla or Cool Cat, and... There's also a third mode, which is what I would call the 0.5, the wood and water rage.
Yes.
Where you play both.
And so who designed, before we get to that, who designed the characters?
They were designed by a gentleman named Steve Nazar, who you can still order, like he still does art for the designs and the characters. So if you go to stevenazar.com or you look him up on Amazon, you can find stuff with these characters on it, which I'm kind of in for.
That's kind of cool.
I'm fine with it. As generic
I'm gonna look them up.
As they are, the characters in general.
Yeah.
The cat, I would say the cat in the tuxedo was like peak 80s, 90s randomness, right? The surfboarding cat in the tuxedo is like right in the wheelhouse of that whole generation. But it's probably also the most original of the four ideas because you got this dude who's from, what's the name of that movie with Pony Boy? He's a greaser.
Outsiders.
Yeah, Outsiders, right? You got the Outsider guy here. And then you got the Tiki guy, which, whatever, pretty generic. And then the gorilla, he looks like Grape Ape or something. I don't know. But anyway.
Grape Ape.
That's a very, very old reference to a cartoon that predates me.
So anyway. The young people on here are like, what's a Grape Ape?
So, yeah, exactly. Look it up, people, if there's anything on the internet about it. So, in this game, you avoid obstacles, road hazards, and animals as you try and reach your goal. Or, I say we radicalize that a little bit. What about we radicalize that about 10%? And we say... Jam the ramps, jump the cracks, and ride the rails.
You're off the rails.
I'm just trying to get in the mode here, man. Okay, like, I'm trying to put myself back in that mind space in 1988, where everything was, like, people, it's a cliche now, but it really was, like, there was this infatuation with, like, skate, BMX, surfing culture. Like, they had... What was it? Surf Nazis Must Die. Like, there were a lot of, you know, what was Point Break was a movie in, like, early 90s, right?
It was,
You know, so, like, there was, like, this was very, this is a, this is like a period piece game now. Mm-hmm. If you look at it, it just the design, the characters, what they're doing is like this, literally like this time capsule you can step back into.
The nostalgia for the shop. The shop's still around to this day.
The shop is still around. You can order the stickers from the cover of this from the shop. Now the same design, but the same, like the yin yang design is does not have the checkerboard in blue, but they have different rings and all that stuff. It's very cool.
Yeah.
So yes, the gameplay itself is fairly elementary, I'll say. I'll start with skateboarding. You're literally skate. You are one of the two characters, Joe Cool or Tiki Man. You are trying to avoid obstacles, road hazards. There's I mean, this whole obstacle. It's like they built an obstacle course. It's very linear, so it's like a self-scrolling game. You can speed it up by pressing B on the gamepad, and then A jumps. If you hold back A, or you hold back and A, that jumps and grabs your board. Yeah. If you just press A, you jump off your board. The board keeps going, and you land on it. You can like grind the rails. You can jump off ramps. But honestly, it's very linear, and the game itself is very the gameplay is fairly mundane. Mm-hmm. I would say that when you look at this game, and we'll get like into all of it later more holistically, but it is kind of really an arcade game. It is an arcade game in the manner of such that you're trying to stay alive, okay, because everything's kind of trying to get you, right? Whether it's a bouncing softball or a frisbee or an oil slick or whatever it is, and then you can accrue points. So you have a life bar, which is actually, I didn't know this till today. The life bar, it's an 8-segment life bar. You start with three or four, depending on the level. They're little yin-yangs.
Yeah.
I never noticed that till today. Never noticed. I never looked. So, and I played this game a lot as a kid. So you start with four. As you progress through the level and you don't fall, you accrue more of them. If you get to a full life bar of 8, there's a clock that runs. You have a 1 minute to complete this path, right? So you've got a timer. You've got it four life bars or four life segments, whatever. If you can get your life all the way up to 8, like you don't crash and you get to 8, that clock stops.
I was going to say, doesn't the clock stop and then you get the accumulated points from the clock?
You do. And then also your life at the end. So max bonus is getting the clock stopped as quickly as possible and then having 8, you know, when you cross the finish line of the thing, of the obstacle course, if you will, or whatever it is. It's very much like an arcade game in that there is a score that you get and you're trying to stay alive. There's no end to this game. I think I got to level 14 of the skateboarding, which is at least 14 minutes, okay? And I accrued like 142,000 points, and I finally, you know, wiped out. But at that point in the game, you cannot wipe out once. If you wipe out immediately, you'll die, because once your life hits zero, it's timeout, game over.
Yeah.
Or you have to beat the clock, and if you don't get to the end, if you don't stop the clock in later levels early, you won't get to the end of it, because it takes too long. So that's pretty much it. That's the gist of the gameplay. Now there's also surfing. I wouldn't recommend it, folks. I mean, the surfing aspect of this game, for as mundane and repetitive as the skateboarding is of this game, there's actually some fun to the element of it. It's pattern learning. It's, you're kind of playing against yourself, right? Because usually if you fail, it's because you've made a mistake. You know what I mean? Like you just did something wrong, or you forgot where something was going to come through, or whatever it is. The surfing is completely fucked. It's a complete nightmare. So was that? I checked with the tools. The game doesn't end even if you wrap the stage counter or the score. Now, I knew if you hit 999999, it didn't end, but I did not know that about the stages. Yep. So I don't know what stage number it wraps at. I'm going to guess at 99 into 100 because it's just a two-digit stage number. But our friend Link7777 in the chat is out here digging into the game itself to determine, you know, if there's an end. The surfing controls aren't very intuitive. No, the surfing controls are complete trash. I hate them. It's counterintuitive. It's the opposite of sitting down and being able to play a game, because you're supposed to press these buttons to go forward and back. And then really what you're trying to do is stay at the top of the wave and like do a trick that buys you time and moves you forward. But holy cow, I hate it. It's terrible. And then the seagull, it always gets you. The worst part, I would say with this game, this game is like Castlevania, or one of those games where it's like, only deviate from where you are if you absolutely must. Do not jump unnecessarily. Okay. Do not move up and down the screen unnecessarily. Try to move as little as possible. So, well, Link made the tool-assisted speedrun for this game, so he dove pretty deep. That's very interesting. I didn't know that. Cool. Well, thanks, man. Glad you're here. Excellent. This is great. Yeah, it's man. I just feel like this is one of those games that anytime you jump, when you know, or you move, you're risking running into something. There are traps constantly out there trying to get you. So that's my opinion. You jump, you commit. The end.
You jump, you commit.
And I'm also going to say, as we go through these segments of the show this time, there's not a lot about it.
No.
There really is not. I think the most interesting part about this is twofold, and it's in this background and development. There are two lines for a background and development. Jay, what are the two lines that we have about the background development of this game?
So it's published by LJN, not Lost Joystick Network, but LJN.
No, I wouldn't be associated with something that good.
And it was developed by Atlus.
Yeah, Atlus was the developer of this game. They were also the developer of other early games that were published by LJN. I believe Karate Kid. I don't remember if they did Jaws or not, but I know that they did Karate Kid as well. So, yeah. And then the music and sound. I mean, I probably should have just loaded it all up into the old Rodecaster and played it, because there are quite literally, there's an intro sound with the screen, you know, the track screen, which is literally just the track screen. If you're looking at the live stream, it doesn't change. So I'm worried about monitor burn over here. But it's like a fake wave sound. Maybe I'll just turn it on because we can hear it from here. Hold on.
Trying to see if I can hear it on the... Oh, yeah.
Every time I hear it, I think that the TV has gone to static.
I feel like we should be trying to go to sleep.
Or surfing.
Like the next one's going to be the thunderstorm.
Or skateboarding.
The soothing sound of a thunderstorm.
So that's the sound of the track screen, okay? Which is literally just a static screen. Then you have the little, like, there's no sound when you go to select your character, right? Your character in game select screen, there's no sound. Even when you choose somebody, there's no sound. Sound starts when you go to the next track, or the first track, or surfboard, or whatever. A single song. There's a couple little jingles, like sound effects, like you skate, you know, skidding or finishing a level or not finishing a level. But the one song in this game, which I almost want to play right now. You know what? I want to pull it up.
This is it.
You know what that sounds like? It sounds like the first fucking level of Doom. Tell me that that song doesn't sound almost identical to that Doom song. So far, Town and Country Surf Designs, Wooden Water Rage.
Wooden Water Rage.
Has influenced Strong Bad, helped create Homestar Runner, and also influenced the music for one of the most influential PC games of all time. That's all. You know,
that's all.
That's its legacy. No big deal.
Yeah, nothing.
For not having a whole lot of information on the internet, there's some very key facts out there, folks. Anyway. So, Jay, regale me with the reception of this game.
Do you want me to put what I put on the notes? There really wasn't any reception. The only thing I found, so I poked around a little bit, and I did find Moby Games pulled a bunch of like grading reviews from different sites or magazines, and the average honestly was like, it was like a D. It was like a 60% on everything.
I would say that this game, for being a game that I feel like a lot of people I knew had, and I'm going to... I'll talk about it now as opposed to like later in collecting. But I'm going to pull this out of here. So on this box, I think I know why people had this game when I was younger. Because on this box it says $40, sale, $19.99. I believe that sticker has probably been there, Jay, since 1988. I would bet you it has.
That's probably pretty accurate.
And the funniest part about the sticker is, if you, look, people, you're not convincing anybody. If you're going to put something on sale and look like you marked it down, you can't write the real price on like a you know, a large sticker up in the top left corner, very small, and then say, oh, sale, and then put a big price underneath it. That is calculated. That is manipulative marketing. There's no way that was originally $40. I love that
it's written in pencil.
It's also in pencil just in case they're like, well, maybe it was originally $45 and now it's $19.
Might have to drop it down a few more dollars.
Anyway, let me put that back. Because I make weird noises with the mic. Sorry, I'm leaning on the mic there, everybody. But yeah, this was this game was kind of ubiquitous. I felt like everybody kind of had it. And we played it, and then we'd get bored with it, and we'd go to something else, and we'd be like, oh, you know, I feel like playing that again. And you go back to it, and then you'd be like, all right, I'm kind of bored with it again, and it was a never-ending cycle that it continues to modern-day life. So, anyway, yeah, reception-wise, this game was, I think it sold okay, but I will say that...
There really wasn't anything definitive on it, though. Like, you couldn't find anything, like, where it ranked as far as sales or anything. There's nothing there.
This game came out at a time prior to video game magazines, really. Yeah. I mean, them doing reviews, right? Like, I don't think GamePro was like actively reviewing NES games in 1988. We also know that Nintendo Power didn't come out till later in 1988. Yeah. So this game predates all that. To find those types of reviews are going to be more modern reviews. And I will say, there are some conflicting reviews out there. Some people tend to like the game. Most people, I would say, they don't like it. Yeah. Okay. But I will say that almost unanimously, and not unanimously, but almost, people despise the surfing part of this game. So... Yeah.
I actually was poking around while you were talking there for a minute, and hindsight, we probably should have done an episode on Atlas instead, because it looked like there was a whole lot more about that. That's what I was looking at on my phone.
Well, yeah, there's quite a bit about Atlas.
There's
a lot about it.
There's some controversy in there, too.
About Atlas?
Yeah, like some lawsuits and stuff. I didn't dig into it too
much. Atlas has done a number of very popular games, the Persona series,
yeah.
Shin Megami Tensei. They've done a lot. They did a lot of RPGs for, I mean, really from PS1 on, but they were also doing them for the Super Famicom. I actually just got a copy of Shin Megami Tensei Complete for Super Famicom, one of those lots. So they've been around doing all kinds of stuff for years.
Yep.
But anyway, all right. So it's time to move on to our opinions of the game.
All right.
So let me ask you this.
We're going in the order.
All right.
I already made the
decision. Got it. All right. So why don't we do this? Let's call Robbie.
All right.
Then you.
So we're going to call me?
Yeah, I'll call you.
Do I need to go in the other room and you can call me?
That would be excellent, actually. Let's do that.
Hello. How you doing there?
Hey, man. How you been?
I'd like a large fry and a Coke.
Yes. All right. So we're going to call our friend Robbie 8-Bit Supremacy. Let's call our boy.
Hello.
Just when you thought that there was only one cool cat that was going to be mentioned during Town and Country Surf Design's Wood and Water Rage, you were wrong. Because we got the real cool cat, 8-Bit Supremacy, Robbie Coleman, everybody.
I'm bad!
What's up, cool cat?
If I ever become someone famous and need you to do introductions for me,
you got it, you're
an automatic hire.
Lock it up. You've earned that role.
You did, man. Yeah, you like really dress me up every time. It's nice.
Only feedback I have for that is if that happens, then that better come with a forklift. A stack of cash.
Yeah, you're going to have to hit the gym, buddy.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Well, also, we need to get a lot of chicks in spandex, I think.
In big hair?
Yeah.
That can be arranged. That can be arranged.
I was going to say, honestly, sounds good.
Sidewalk gym?
Sidewalk gym is not invited. Yeah. All he's going to do is try and throw a motorcycle at us on the overpass. So I can't.
Yeah, party pooper.
Yeah, that guy's a jerk. He's going to change his attitude before he shows up. He wants to hang out with the forklift and the spandex hair chicks. He's going to have to rethink how he acts.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. How you doing, buddy?
I'm all right, man. Just got done playing TNT Surf Designs for a little bit to refresh my memory.
Yeah?
Although, I didn't really need much refreshing because that music has been burned into my brain. from playing it as a kid. Like, I could just hum that on command if I ever wanted to. Like,
did you hear what I just said about it?
No, I just know that I think I heard you say something about there's barely any music in the game.
The only music in the game is that song that you're talking about.
And that makes sense then.
and go listen to the first track of the Doom soundtrack for the original PC game.
I don't agree with that. I heard you say that. Yeah, I was like, I don't know about that.
It's the same cadence and almost the same notes. It changes later, and it's a little bit more aggressive. But man, I was like, these sound very similar. So anyway, I think a lot you could say that about a lot of songs, but I was like, what does this sound like? I obviously, like you, I know this song, right? There's one song in the whole damn game. I know the song, and I was like, this sounds like, because I was just playing some old PC games, you know, doing the Quake stuff, and I was like, oh my god, I think it's Doom. And then I was like, oh, it is. Then I went and read Hardcore Gaming 101 said the same damn thing.
Oh, okay, all right, well, yeah.
So
I guess I'm in the wrong here.
It's okay, it's opinion.
The minority.
So you played the game.
I saw that you got that Doom book. Man, I actually bought that growing up. I was texting you about this recently, and you sent me a picture of it. I was like, man, I bought that and read the whole thing, and it was a good read for 8-year-old me.
Yeah.
I don't know how it'll hold up now, but it was awesome. And yeah, man, that era was like peak Robbie. That was the era where I was calling in the software.
That was it.
Mortal Kombat at that mall.
Hold on.
Going to Beat Alton booksellers and get that book.
Let me read the text that Robbie sent me earlier today. I sent him a picture of the book, and Robbie says, let me see if I can find it. He goes, I have so much nostalgia with that. I read the entire thing it was a good read as a kid. He goes, I would hit the software, etc. to read EGMs, walk over to Aladdin's Castle to pop quarters in Mortal Kombat 2, round it out with a corn dog lunch and a visit to B. Dalton Books to buy a Doom book before heading home. Life was good. This sounds like a fucking great day, man.
Fucking was, man. That was good.
What a goddamn day that was. Wow. Yeah. I love that you would just go like Homer and just read the magazines and then leave.
Well, you would try to frantically read them and then like memorize the moves. You're like, okay,
and then run to the arcade.
Fucking, but yeah, book it and put a quarter in the machine. Like, all right, what's the reptile's spit? Fuck. Yeah. Oh, what? You know, like,
yep.
Yeah, that's what you did.
Very nice.
Sounds like the day ended. He hit the pillow and went.
In fact, when I was sitting there, not this exact time, but when I would be the asshole that's sitting on the floor reading magazines, not buying any of them
or anything.
And that was when I overheard one of the employees there talking shit about the kid who called in all the time.
They did that, like, on purpose. Like, you know, they did.
I feel like they knew it was me.
They had to.
Yeah, that fucking jerk who also likes to read magazines on the floor. Call us every day.
There are guys, when I worked at Funko Land, to this day, I would bet you if any of them had ever called in, if anybody ever called in like that, I would have been able to peg them in a minute. I've been like, it was that guy. There would have been no doubt. You're like, that guy's always around. He never buys anything. He's always asking a bunch of questions. He's just kind of around. And I guarantee you they knew it was you and they did it on purpose.
Well, I was like a little kid and my mom would just let me run amok in the mall. So I would just, they knew I didn't have money. I just was in there like being a kid, you know?
Freeloading like a kid.
That's where you just get the deep voice. You'd be like, yeah, I never called about Mortal Kombat.
I wouldn't play a game like that. I'm an adult.
Yeah. And then they'd be like, you know what? I'd believe that. You got a mustache.
Here's my identification that proves my adultivity. Anyway, so you played a little of our game. Have you bought anything before I jump into that? Have you bought anything?
Oh, a few things. I tabled the rummage sale like I have been doing the past 2 years, this will be the third year, with our buddy Nick Shuptek, aka the Instagrammer formerly known as Cartman Gun. We tabled this rummage sale up in our hometown of Wadsworth, Illinois, in a community park next to like old ladies with knickknacks and, you know, guys with antique cans and stuff. And I just spam the hell out of Craigslist and Facebook and offer up with the fact that we're selling old video games, comics, you know, nerd toys, all this kind of shit. And so it's like essentially like a pop-up store in the middle of a park, and then people come out. There's like, I've seen a few familiar faces from the other years. We sold a ton of shit. It was a good time. And then I at the end of the sale, just like the other years, Nick's too lazy to bring stuff home. He's like, hey, I'll just buy the rest of my stuff for like 50%. I'm like, yeah. So I bought all his stuff that he did not sell. It wasn't anything crazy. It was a lot of common stuff, but you know, replenishing the inventory. one of the things from the lot I bought, I actually kept. It was a complete box copy of Bases Loaded on the original Game Boy.
Wow.
Really, yeah. And a banger, right? Heavy.
But the heaviest of heavies. If you said NES, I'd have been out of my mind.
It's just something about those like really clean white Jellico boxes, because it looks just like the NES Bases Loaded. It's just smaller. But man, those, when they're like clean, clean white, and I'm just like really perfect, crispy boxes, I'm like, yeah, I need this.
What are you going to do, not buy it like an idiot?
I know. And I love 8-bit baseball games, like mostly all of them. So I'm just like, yep, give me it. Like, this is where I'm at.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I got that. What the fuck else? It's been a while since we talked. Oh, I fucking found...
Stop calling our store.
copy of Chippendale Rescue Rangers 2.
Oh, yes.
In the true wild.
Well, yeah. And not even just in the wild, but also...
As true as you can get. As true as you can get these days. But it was like a crappy store on the west side of Chicago, if you want to call it a store. It basically looked like a flea market booth thrown into a storefront where like half the shit was priced. Nothing's clean. Shit's junky looking. They look up stuff in front of you on their phones when you ask about a price of something. It's like one of those places that I normally don't want to do it. But I noticed a store the other day that just sprung up when I was driving on the west side. I was texting my buddy Frank. I was like, we got to go here, man. Because like, usually my first visit to a place like that is always great if I get in there before anybody else does. Because I snatch up the good shit or some, there's like a price error or something. And this time I went in there by myself. And right on top of the NES pile was a cracked copy of Chippendale Rescue Rangers 2. The shell is cracked, but I was like, oh, I'll take that. And I started grabbing other games that were like $20-ish and sandwiching the Chippendale 2 in the middle of it so that it would
give me the kind
of blend. Yeah, I was like, how the fuck am I going to get this game out of here? Because it didn't have a price tag. I'm like, shit, how am I going to get him?
You should have just ran. Throw $20 at the guy and then run. I got to go.
Well, like I just said, they're the kind of place, I learned this later, that looks up games on the spot in front of you on price charting. So, but I didn't know this yet. So I grabbed like a stack of four games, and as I was like kind of wandering around, like in my head, like, how am I going to get this out of here? This is like a fucking $300 cart. Like, what am I going to do? As I was doing that, just kind of making chit chat with the kid behind the counter, the kid, mind you, was young to the point where I feel like he never even knew what half this shit was. Like the boss's son or who knows, but somebody hired boss man was not there. So this kid was here. And, as I was kind of perusing all the other cartridges, looking for other stuff, some street guy walks in with a backpack filled with 40 sealed copies of Tears of the Kingdom, 40, just like clearly stolen. But he's like, hey, you want to buy these? Like trying to sell them to the store. Didn't know what to do because that's a weird thing to broach when you're at the counter of a store and someone walks in with 40 stolen copies of something. So he's calling his boss. And he just kind of seemed overwhelmed that moment. And that's when I kind of flashed the spines of the games I was holding at the kid. And I was like, hey, how much for these, man? When he was kind of involved in that. And he just glanced over. He went, oh, I don't know, $30. And I was like, you got it. Hand him $30, and then I booked it, put the games in the car, and then came back. That's the real move.
That's the classic move.
I mean, I had to secure the bag. I was like, I need to get this thing out of here, in the car, so done, and then I can come back and relax and look around some more.
That's a garage sale move, bud. You learned that at garage sales.
It felt like a garage sale situation, and I got really lucky because
you're like, I got to get this out of here before anybody else sees it. Oh, that's expensive. Like, I don't want anybody to see this.
But after that,
Four
more games. It was like Mike Tyson, like a copy of Zelda 2, you know, Mattio's favorite game, and Balloon Fight.
Mortal Kombat was his favorite game.
20, that's Mortal Kombat 2, yeah. 20-ish, $30-ish, you know, popular games like Mike Tyson, stuff I could like easily sell at a convention or to someone. I grabbed those, and then he started looking them all up in front of me, and I was like, holy shit, I'm glad he didn't do that the last time I was in here. And then he still cut me a really nice deal. Just randomly, like chopped half off of everything. So
nice.
I gotta go back there. I've only visited once, but I gotta go back because I sold a bunch of shit over the weekend and sold a bunch of shit to a guy on Instagram. I was like, I need to replenish some inventory here. I gotta go back to this place.
The real question there is, John wants to know, did you grip those Tears of the Kingdom?
Yeah,
no, I almost, you know, me being me, I was like,
wanted to be like, hey guy, meet me outside around the corner. Let's talk about this.
I'll give you $400 for all of them.
I was ready, dude.
But I know. I wouldn't blame you.
This is too sketchy. Like, he just had a bad vibe around him. And I was like,
yeah,
I'm not gonna touch this. And also, the kid was considering it, like meeting him.
Yeah, you didn't want
to work.
Oh god,
I didn't want to step on his deal. Yeah, I didn't want to step on his toes or intervene with the deal. But I just took it as an omen. I was like, this guy is my savior here. And in terms of like my little scapegoat to get this cart out of here, you know, or the distraction. It was nice.
Your gateway to success.
I picked that up, and I think I got a total of 8 games. Chippendale 2 was one of them. That's a very rare game to find in the wild. The only time I've ever seen that game in my life was when I found it for $2 in the wild, like in 2015 on the flea market. And that's the copy I own. I haven't seen it since. And that was extremely lucky.
Yeah.
But
I agree.
I got all 8 games home, cleaned them all up, testing them all. Guess which game didn't work out of all 8?
The Chippendales Rescue Rangers 2. Wait, no, Puznik.
Correct. No.
Oh, was I right the first time?
Puznik worked perfectly. Yeah, you're right the first time.
I should have went with my gut on that one.
Chippendale 2 did not work. I opened it up and it had a lot of green oxidation on the traces.
Yeah.
I cleaned it all up as much as possible. Just would not boot no matter what I did. And I took a multimeter to the pins and traces and all that and solder points. And I found like 5 bad traces. Threw it to my buddy Frank. He repaired that shit in a day.
Caputo. So,
yeah, Frank Caputo.
Frank Dunk.
Shout out to my man Frank for fixing this NES game within like 24 hours for me, because I was kind of sad about it. But ultimately, I was like, well, it was only $7, so whatever.
And
but,
those things are you. It very rarely is that the PGR or CHR chips. It's usually something you could repair. So
yeah, he breaks the traces. You know.
Yeah.
And if it's ever went weird again or did something weird, just do a whole PCB swap. You can. I think Bases Loaded 2 is like a proper candidate for like a PCB swap for that game. I was doing some research. But anyway, it's good. It works now, according to Frank. He's going to do a full playthrough on it, make sure there's nothing screwy there. But hey, man, like, you don't really find rare-ass cartridge games in the wild in 2023 anymore. It's pretty hard to do that.
Oh, absolutely.
Back in the day, but these days, no.
No, those days are basically over. I agree.
Yeah. Well, so that was my big find last week. And that's it, man. I mean, I already have that game, so I'm just going to sell it at a discount for the repaired copy to somebody at VGS. I ended up selling your Dino Peak, my old Dino Peak, to give money to you because you gave me an upgraded Dino Peak. Whole convoluted process. I got a buddy in Indiana. His Instagram handle is 8BitHero79. It is the last game he needs for his set. And he's going to buy it off me with a payment plan, because that's how ridiculous this hobby has gotten.
It sure is. It sure has. I saw a post on Reddit today that a guy said, well, I'm done. And it was a collector's edition of Ocarina of Time, complete in box for like $450 at a store. He goes, I'm out. This is it. I can't buy any more video games. So anyway, yeah, it's where we got. But you go ahead. You were going to say.
I'm just going to pivot over to the actual topic, because I feel like that's about all I got. That's a
very good
bullshit catching up chore, you know, or whatever discussion. TNT Zerf Designs. Nick Shoptek, again, my next door neighbor growing up. I've known him since I was literally born. That's how long I've been friends with this guy. We've both been in NES our whole lives. His older sister got NES. Same time my older sister got NES. So we were both extremely young playing this console. One of the games he had was TNT Zerf Designs.
Mm-hmm.
Played it a lot. Like you said, it really hits the mark to represent the era. It's a period piece game. Like, it's like, it reminds me of the 80s.
Yep.
Like, more so than a lot of other NES games. It's like the color usage, the box art, the radical attitude, you know, whatever. I also, I don't even know if I've even discussed this on the podcast, I've been skateboarding basically my whole life since like the age 12.
Yeah, Jay just found this out, by the way.
Yeah, I was kind of like, I was like sponsored locally for a little bit. I had some video parts on YouTube. If you like look up my name, I'll pop up. Like at my peak, my salad days, I was like in my mid-20s, when I was really good. I wanted to talk about that as context, because back in the day, I was already skating, like just kind of riding the wide 80s boards, the fish boards, when I was like a little kid, just kind of tic-tacking around, trying ollies, bonelesses, like carving ramps. I was doing that already, and the only video games you had to connect with skateboarding were that, or this game, 720, and Skate or Die.
Yep.
And most people, I played all those, but like games overall aren't the greatest. It's not like the greatest representation.
What about California games?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well that, yeah, the Half-Life Station, that was good. I played that a lot too. I forgot about that. 720 is just like, okay, fun on the arcade and you swivel the joystick around like 360 yeah. and stuff.
Medium res monitors on the thing.
But like, yeah, anyway, good call. Yeah, you do. But I mean, like, yeah, Nick had TNC. My other next door neighbor on the other side of me has Skate or Die and Skate or Die 2. A kid down the street had California games. Like, so I played all those a lot because it was the style at the time. Everyone just skated or BMX or whatever. Just kind of part of our culture. So we all liked that shit. So yeah, I played the hell out of that. Just kind of being like, well, this is what we got. This is a skateboarding game. So I just play it. And I was like, oh, it's fun to just do like a little oil slick, like helicopter shove it, rail slide the rail at the top of the screen over the oil drums. And you're like, yeah. Cause like, you can't really do tricks. It's like,
no.
This is an era before Tony Hawk's Pro Skater came out and just leveled the playing field where like you could really have control, like a real skateboarding game. Like,
yep.
Up until that point, there wasn't much, even all the way up to that point.
I agree.
So they didn't really make any skate games for like the Genesis or the Super Nintendo either, I guess. Like,
Skitchin.
I mean, yeah, I was about to say Skitchin, but that's like just Road Rash with rollerblades. But,
yeah, it sure was.
I don't know. But overall, the game is not the greatest, but I made do with what I had, and then music was cool enough to keep it going. It has, like I think you said earlier in the podcast, it had like an arcade vibe. It's like it just goes endlessly. And back in the day, I didn't know that. So I'm like, it's got to be end this game. So I just kept playing it and trying to get further and further. Like, oh, maybe like level 20, like it stops or whatever, like 50. And it never stops. So that's the only thing. That's the biggest downfall to me. Like, I kind of can't get behind games like that in the NES.
Yeah.
Like another one I had like that growing up was Tiger Heli. Just goes and goes. I'm just like, man.
I know. I agree with that. Yeah. You're just
give
like
me okay, a fucking boss.
This
man.
Has got to like, end, right? I'm tired.
Up. Yeah. So, I mean, I have a lot of love in my heart for this game because of the nostalgia. But man, I started playing it and I like you said, like the same thing happened. Like you turn it on, you think you want to play it. You're like, yeah, I want to play that game. It's fun. You know, it gives a little warm feeling inside of me. Let's turn that one on. And then you're like bored after like 10 minutes tops. I'm like, okay. Then you get to the surfing part and you're like, fuck this, because the surfing part sucks and no one can control it properly. It's not intuitive at all.
It's terrible.
I tried just now, when you guys were talking and doing the intro of the show, I was playing it and I was like, I tried to look up a YouTube video on how to properly do the surfing part.
It doesn't help.
It doesn't help.
It doesn't help.
Like, it still doesn't help. I was like, so you just endlessly ramp off the top wave and like a dumbass.
That's
until
it. Until you hopefully get to the end or hit a seagull. That's it. That's it.
Like, it was so dumb. Like, so as far as I'm concerned, it's just a skateboarding game. Like,
I agree.
There's no point even messing with that. Like, so yeah, they really fucked up on that part. But the cat, the tuxedo, was cool. It was funny.
The cool cat.
So cool Robbie, cat, if you were going to give this game a rating. In 0.5 increments between a 1 and a 5, based off your childhood and the last half hour when you played earlier, what do you think you'd give it?
Yeah, I don't want to hurt its feelings.
You sound exact. I'm not, spoiler alert, Robbie's giving everybody my review. So go ahead, Robbie.
I just like this game. I don't know. I was about to say it got me through some hard times. I was like, what fucking hard times? I'm like a kid living in the suburbs. But it quelled a lot of my boredom in the 80s. And I just play it, and my imagination would run wild with it. Like, oh, it'd be like, this is, you know, I can do rail slides on this shit. And like, this and that's fun. Like, it's me controlling it. I guess, contextually speaking, I'm going to give it a 3. I wanted to go a little lower because just now revisiting it, I was like, whoops, this is bad. But the skateboarding part is redeeming. It's fun if you want to do some like time attack mode and just keep beating your high score. But those kind of games I can't get down with anymore unless I'm in an actual arcade pumping quarters into it. But like in a home console, I don't want to just play something that endlessly loops. No matter how fun it is, it's just like something about that eventually becomes monotonous. So I'm going to have to stick with 3. Give it a nice sweet spot in middle score because it holds a very special place in my heart, and it represents the NES in the 80s to me more than a lot of other games.
Well said.
Because like you said, a lot of people had it. I mean, Nick had it. I don't know, but like it was just around, probably because of the price tag or something. You said that might have just been cheaper, or just the box art. I don't know.
It could. I think it was just a product of the times. People looked at it and thought, this is probably interesting. It's about surfing. It's about skateboarding. It's cheap. The kid will like it. This is something kids like, is what adults probably said.
You're 100% right, because that's why my friend in California games, because we did all the stuff in that game except for playing footbag.
Good old footbag. can't use the real name. So but, all right, 3.0. Yeah,
it's a 3. If I wasn't looking at it through rose colored glasses or whatever the expression is, it'd probably be a 2.5, but let's just stick with a 3 because I'm an ES apologist at the end of the day.
Yep, I know. Well, sounds good. All right.
I want to apologize directly to my copy right here. I'm sorry, guy. Sorry that pulling off the shelf. Giving a little kiss. Sorry, bud.
We're going to cover that up with your theme music. So
you're off the rails.
Well, thank you, as always, for the heartfelt and endearing review of a gamer from your childhood. Our friend, the cool cat, 8-Bit Supremacy, Robbie Coleman. I'm not kissing my copy. Maybe.
You're not up.
I know.
You're up.
I was just foreshadowing. Go ahead. Jay, it's your turn.
My turn?
It's LJN game rating time for Jay. We just completed Robbie's. Jay, what do you got to say?
Where do I start?
At the beginning?
Kind of one of the things Robbie was talking about. If you look at... I used to skateboard when I was a kid. Again, I probably wasn't nearly as good. Robbie's really good. I don't know. We might have been equally as good when we were kids. I don't know. But I used to skateboard. So that was a big thing. I gravitated towards games like TNC and California Games and 720 and Skate or Die. Skate or Die was probably one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. But when you look at them, being a kid, and you lay all these skateboard games out, and you look at the covers on them, by far...
The best one.
Yes, this is the best cover. So it's an amazing cover. So you would gravitate towards that game. But once you play it, it's just... Oh. The surfing is terrible.
Yes.
There's no getting around it. The surfing is terrible.
I'm almost to the point where I don't want to neuter John's review, but I almost don't even want to discuss the surfing anymore because everybody's like unanimously like it sucks.
Yes, it does.
So anyway, no.
That's all I've got to say about it. Surfing's terrible.
It is.
The skateboarding to me wasn't... It's okay, but it's not. It's not great. It's more of a... You and I were talking about it. It's more of a linear... I felt like it's a linear paperboy.
It is. Yeah, it's just non-isometric.
Ironically, that's what Heather said to me. I was talking to her about it. I'm like, all you're doing is basically riding in a straight line and you're dodging shit.
Yeah.
And she was like, so kind of like Paperboy. And I'm like, yeah, but you're not on that angle. So I was just like, meh. So it still is a skateboard game and it is nostalgic, but I can't give it a good score. I wish I could, but I can't. It's a 1.5.
1.5?
1.5.
What would you give the shirt?
Oh, the shirt's a 5.
Well, then put the two together and average it out.
Nope. 1.5.
All right.
Gameplay, I'm basing it off the game. If I was basing it off simply off the cover, it would definitely be a Valdor special.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Which Valdor says the surfing is easy and that we need to get good. I whether it's easy or not doesn't mean it's any fun.
Well.
I'll just start there.
I mean, if we lived in whatever Dakota he lives in, South Dakota.
Fargo.
Yeah. No, that's North Dakota.
That's where he is.
Oh, North Dakota. We probably have Dakota. Some time to spend learning to surf, but we don't.
Yeah, I guess not.
I mean, Michigan's not that far off from North Dakota, but
it's further east. It's from the Midwest.
It's all Midwesty.
Anyway.
But either way.
Who's next, Jay?
You.
I already knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Robbie pretty much said everything I wanted to say, which I said prior to Robbie being on. This game holds a lot of nostalgia for me. The surfing is terrible, whether it's easy or not. I don't enjoy it. This game was definitely one that was always around, and I loved the aesthetic of it. It very much reminds me of being a child. Like, this game literally takes me back to being like 13 and 14 years old instantly just by looking at it and playing it and hearing the horrible music. You know what? I kind of like this. I like the skateboarding part. I like it. Like I said, I view it as an arcade game. I compete against myself with it. I'm always trying to get a better score or you know, get to a long, you know, the next stage or whatever it is. I think today I got to stage, like I said, 14 and got over 140,000 points. It's a long road to play the same thing basically over and over 14 times. Let me ask you, what do you think I'm going to give it?
That's supposed to be a surprise. I put down a 2.0.
I'm giving this game a 3.0 as well.
Oh, shit.
I was thinking 2.5, just put it right in the middle because it's very average to below average, but everything else about it bumps it up. Well, the nostalgic part, the design part, all those, the shirt. I took the shirt as part of the, you know, to me, that's part of the score.
So I'm forecasting year end is going to be me shitting on everything again.
Yeah, pretty much. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull this game out of the box. And just so Robbie's not the only one, I'm going to give it a kiss.
Oh, for God's sakes, both of you.
I'm going to take that sales sticker off of it because you don't deserve that, Tiki Man. You don't deserve it.
And Robbie is right. You do have to deliver papers. I do love Paperboy. I'm not beating up on Paperboy.
Plus.
You better not knock that game down.
I didn't. You're the one that knocked it down to a 1.5. Ooh, got him. Anyway, 3.0 for me. I was right at the 2.5 range, but it's too close to home for me.
Ironically, Skater Die was my game. I loved the half pipe.
I know. It was fine. It's fine one. I like it okay.
So
this one is very like, I don't know. It's just there's something about it that I like. There's something in this game that makes me want to continue to play it, even though I know there's no finality to it, other than just maybe wiping out once in round 14, like earlier, where I was like, oh, I wiped out, it's over. I can't.
I love that you're like, oh, I wiped out. And then you're like, what the fuck? It's over?
Yeah, because you only get two life segments to start stage 14. And then I wiped out with two life segments. And that was it. You lose them both. So there you go. All right. So on to our good friend, John Young, retro game enthusiast. So let's dial him up here. Give our friend John a kill.
Hello.
Skateboarding or surfing into our hearts with some barbecued ribs and some great Famicom games that he can put in his Fami box. Because that's what Tyler says I have to call him. Retro game enthusiast, John Young, everyone. Hi, John.
How's it going?
Good. Did I do okay as you?
I didn't hear anything.
Yes.
Then just say yes.
Yes, you did great.
I talked about Tears of the Kingdom, and I talked about Famicom games, and I talked about going to VGS. As you, not me.
Nice. And just for the record, I did check. I'm over 190 hours now. So, Mike, catch up.
All right.
I won't. I can't. I'm trying. I'm just gonna leave the game open and like I'll stay in like the where would I stay? I'll stay at the lookout landing and I'll just leave the game open 24 hours a day.
Lay your pro controller face down so the joystick is pushed forward. So he just like runs around randomly.
Down I could do it downstairs in the shelter part of lookout landing and just run down there until plug the controller in so the battery doesn't die.
Next episode it's gonna be I'm at 466 hours.
Yeah, in a week.
Yeah, that would be sad.
In your defense, Mike, there's probably a good 10 to 15 hours of that. That was like me like leaving the game go and like realizing I just left it on.
It was on and you were in a safe place.
Yeah, exactly. And I only found that area underneath lookout like in the last like 20 hours.
The shelter?
Yeah. I don't talk to the plebs, man.
I'm too busy with the main storyline. I don't have time for any of this shelter crap. There's a praying shrine thing down there, whatever the hell they're called, I forget. That's where I go to cook when it's a blood moon, and that's the closest one I generally go to.
And that makes sense.
Interesting.
I don't know. I And honestly, I haven't done that much of the main storyline either, so I don't know what I was doing.
To be fair, I have no idea what I'm doing. But what about buying anything? You know what you're doing there?
Yeah. Oh, man. What have I been buying lately? I got a bunch of Famicom disc game unused labels. I'm pretty excited about that. Those should be coming in here shortly. Customs actually opened one of my boxes from Japan, the 28 Famicom systems that I bought.
Oh, yeah.
I still not opened it because it seems like it's a little crunchy, so that's going to be fun.
Oh, no. Okay.
So, moving on. Have you played anything other than Tears of the Kingdom lately?
No.
Yeah, what else did I play? Something else, yeah.
Have you played any, maybe, Nintendo games?
Is Baba Is You, is that a Nintendo game?
We can say...
No, that's that Mediterranean food. Baba yes. Ganoush?
Okay.
Baba Ganoush.
Oh, I love... Actually, I'm not a big Obi-Chan fan, or whatever they call it over there. Eggplant. I'm not a
eggplant.
Big eggplant fan.
Ah, eggplant. I get it. Not a Kid Icarus fan.
No, I played a little bit of TNC Surf Design, and I don't understand why you guys don't like good games. Like, this is, you know...
I never said I didn't.
It started off with Robbie. I'm like, all right, I got an ally here. And then Robbie's like, yeah, I don't play games anymore. I've gone Hollywood. And then, like...
I'm too busy ripping off thrift stores. Nah, I can't. I don't really think that was a joke. Sorry.
No, in his defense, anybody else that would have bought it would have not been able to revive it. And if they did, like, even at 50% of price charting and it didn't play,
it would have gotten. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah. Fair. It was worth $7 at the time.
So you feel pretty passionate about TNC Surf, huh?
No, pretty much everything everybody else has said pretty much holds true. There's a ton of nostalgia for me. It was one of those games. Spy Hunters, another one that just kept going. I'm like, no, man, if you get off at the right angle, then you can go to the rocket stage. There's no rocket stage. You like car, then boat, and then boat continues on forever.
Yeah. Car to boat and boat, like you live on the boat now.
But you got to admit, on Spy Hunter, you have that sweet bass line.
Yeah, exactly. And all the weapons you can I'm never going to use these until I get to the boat.
Yeah. And then that's it. Now I live on the boat with all my weapons.
Exactly. And I learned that if you essentially drive onto a truck bed on a highway, they'll give you some sweet upgrades.
You just have to, it's like Knight Rider.
Oil slick and stuff.
But it's like Knight Rider, right? You just drive right into the freaking.
But you got to wait for the ramps to come out. If you drive too fast, you just ass end the truck.
Yeah. That's not good.
Yeah.
That's no good. So enough about Spy Hunter.
Yeah.
Let's talk about a good game.
I want to touch a little bit on what Robbie said about you get a game, you're into skateboarding, it's 80s, Skate or Die. I think that had more of I know Jay loves it, but that had more prestige than actual fun because nobody wanted to play it more than a half hour as far as I was concerned. But TNC Surf Design, if you were a poor kid that just wanted a repetitive game that you could try to beat each other's scores with, I feel like this was a good one for it. So me and my friends would play it a lot. 100%, the surfing is not intuitive. You push kind of forward to have the nose of the surfboard to kind of go down a bit. It's actually more of a survival game. You do kind of still, move forward, even though it doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, I read the manual even on how to play it, and then I watched a tutorial on YouTube, and I'm still like, this is dumb. It's not even that it's hard. It's just dumb. So anyway.
It's like Contra, or it's Double Dragon, once you know what to do, you're like, all right, this is how I do it. I just slowly clip into their same plane and punch them in the face.
Yes.
It's a similar kind of idea. It's like, all right, watch out for these seagulls. They're jerks. Like Robbie said, it's just fun. All right, I'm going to not even worry about these barrels. I'm just going to grind over the barrels. And it's one of the four tricks you now have. So, but I do have a lot of nostalgia for this game. I do think that it's a lot of fun. I do agree with you. Maybe it was Robbie that said this, but after a little while, you're like, all right, I had my fun. But the other thing that bothers me is I'll never be as good as I was in 1991, with my buddy, in July, all right, we have nothing else. Let's just do this for all day. So you do start going oh, I used to be able to do this and never get hit. And now I'm just dying,
Yep.
But if it was just the skateboarding and they elaborated on a bit more, maybe had a couple different stages, I could go as high as a 3.5. surfing, you know, it has kind of an aspect. Switching between the two, I'm not a huge fan of, so I like to do one or the other. I think three is like a legit score.
Yeah, so you're at a three as well.
Yeah.
I think
sorry, I take back all my vitriol from earlier. For me personally, I'd put it up there at 3.5. Like, if somebody said you could never play this game again, I'd be a little sad about it. But it's also like, I'm never like, yeah, I'm going to get as good as I used to be about at this game.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
It keeps drawing you back, Ian, even though you don't think you really want to play it. But you're like, I would play that. And then you play it and you're like, okay, 15 minutes of this was enough this month or year.
I would say it's kind of like, you know, Robbie's essentially his ethos on this is kind of it. Like, there's a nostalgia and you want to relive that nostalgia. So you and your buddy playing in the summer. So like, it reminds me of that. But
yep.
If somebody says, should I start playing this game and get good at it? I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
I'm not recommending it to anybody. If you didn't like when you were a kid, I'm not going to be like, all right, let me show you how to enjoy this game.
You have to play TNC Surf Designs. You're like, I already know the three things about the game. Yeah. One, surfing sucks. Two, surfing sucks. And three, skateboarding is repetitive. So you don't need to teach me anything. Anyway, exactly. Good. Yeah.
And that I actually really enjoy the music for the one song. Like Robbie said, it's just like cemented in my head. It's got that like 80s, like.
There's a little attitude in that song. There's a little bit of attitude in there.
It was so good that Doom like even used metal. It.
Exactly. It's so good that Doom ripped it off. I love that the constant like drum part where it's like do 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 do, you know, like constantly like that. Like I'm like tapping along with that always.
It's a good rhythm. 80s metal punk kind of like riff, right?
Yep. Yep. They got ripped off by John Romero.
Oh yeah.
Anyway,
that makes sense.
I'm kidding.
Anyway, no, that's where I'm at.
Great.
I did get another lot of Famicom games, and it came with a big stupid suitcase, and I didn't realize that until after I won it, so I had to pay an extra like $30 for shipping. Hey, so if you guys need like a suitcase,
it's not like a Famicom Nintendo branded one. There's like disc gun on or anything.
It's more like a briefcase.
I see. No.
Yeah.
No, I can't say I do.
All right.
Anything else?
No, it covers it. Looking forward to seeing you guys.
Can't wait. Well, thanks for joining us, sir.
All right. Later, gents.
Surfing off into the sunset with all of his Famicom games in his briefcase, handcuffed to his wrist.
That's a cool cat right there.
Yes. Mr. Cool Cat himself. Retro game enthusiast, John Yo.
The other cool cat. We got two cool cats on this show.
We do.
Three this show, I guess.
Yeah.
All right.
Last one. Can't wait to see what this dickhead's got to say.
Sashimi Z.
Yeah. Actually, he's been on point the last couple times.
He really has been.
He's been pretty funny.
He's been right there.
I've been kind of nice to him.
Yep, Sashimi okay. Z's review is follows. What if we made the Turbo Tunnel an entire video game? That's kind of dumb, but also that's kind of beautiful. I got my first game over in Thrillist Safari in like 7 seconds. So incoming 4.0 from Robbie, the NES bullshit defender.
There's always that for Robbie.
He's got a bone to pick there. There's something very Adventure Island to the memorization and execution in this game. Also the plot, setting, skateboarding, and rhinos. Okay, it's basically Adventure Island with a worse camera. It's nearly entirely fast, twitchy gameplay, and doesn't fuck around. With violent death animations and an off-putting art style, the game is kind of horrifying, too, considering the Surfer Dude vibe it's supposed to have. This game looks like unlicensed trash. It's the sequel to a trash game. It has stupid isometric bullshit, but also, it's kind of everything I want from an NES game. It's intense, all gameplay, no downtime, decent controls, and it's weird as hell. I can't believe I'm saying it, but I'm only half a point away from Robbie on this one. 3.5 out of 5. Oh, and there's a note here. Wait, I was supposed to play the shitty original game? I'm not playing that.
I was going to ask about the rhino thing and the sequel.
I'm like, yeah, he lost me for a second.
Surf?
I was like, I thought this was the prequel to the sequel.
Yeah.
Which we haven't even talked about, Thrillist Safari.
Yeah.
I think we just did.
Yeah.
But yes, there's your review.
All right.
So Jay, with that, which I thought was an excellent review, by the way, once I figured out what was going on just now.
Yes.
I pieced it together, but I was like, what's happening? Rhinos? Did we play a different game? Come to find out, we did. Because he didn't want to play the trash game, he said.
He did.
All right. Fair enough. So I guess we'll put 3.5 up there and he'll have the highest score for it. Anyway, Jay, where can you play this game today?
NES.
Moving on. Let's do some collecting.
Done. Let's go.
All right. Just like the NES being the only place you can play it, there's really only one version of this game. There's a Rev A round seal quality. Loose, this is a $5 game. If you pay more than $5 for this game, I think you would be mildly okay, but not much. Yeah. Six, maybe seven. But this is a game that you should be able to get very, very inexpensively. And I would also say you should be able to get your $5 out of it. Personally, stick to the skateboarding, okay? Play it for 15 minutes. You can get your $5 out of this game, I think, okay? Complete box to, you know, condition sensitive, as we always say, $60, I give or take. From a graded perspective, I'm gonna focus on three things. The most it ever sold for, the least it ever sold for, and the most recent sale.
Yes.
The most this game ever sold for was $1,200 last May 20th, 2022. It was a 9.2 A+, which isn't even the best grade. The best grade available of this game is a 9.6 A++, according to WADA. Okay, this is all WADA stuff. The least expensive sale of this game was an 8.0 CIB that sold last March for $159. I can't believe I don't own that. I would own that.
I'm surprised you don't.
Actually. I must have missed that week. And then the most recent sale is actually also kind of a bonus because it's also the least expensive graded sealed sale of the game ever. A 7.0 B+, not a great grade. August 2nd, 2022, $192. I must have missed a couple of weeks that month.
Yeah.
Because out of our year, I would have bought either one of those. This game has been graded 39 times, sealed. Total, I don't know how many CIB, at least one we know.
Yeah.
But yeah, and the best grade, again, I mentioned is a 9.6 A++. So that's a little bit about collecting. This is a game that you should be able to find fairly inexpensively. I think it's worth the $60 in the box if you can find it.
It's a cool box.
Yeah.
I would say get it. If you're going to do it in the, get it in the box.
It's got our logo on it.
True.
All over it, baby. It anyway, so let's talk a little bit about speed running of this game. Jay, what do you got for speed running?
So we've got 18 runners. We did 38 runs. And basically, we got the three run types. So we've got the skateboarding only, which is basically just doing one loop on it. And then you've got surfing only, which is one loop on it. Then you got the wooden water rage, which is the alternating skateboard and surf. Basically, the competition. So with those, so basically, we've got skateboarding, the one loop, a Whitman Price. Finished it in 4 minutes and 24 seconds.
Yeah, he's kind of all over these records.
Yeah. And then surfing one loop is, again, Whitman Price and Scotty.
I would say Scotty, yes.
Yeah. It's Skawttie.
Mm-hmm.
4 minutes, 29 seconds, and 700 milliseconds.
Yeah.
And then the wood.
Well, what you're missing there is that's actually a tie. Two people. Oh, okay. It's not that was not two people playing the game. That was two different people that got the exact same score.
And even down to the millisecond.
Yep. That's wild. Which leads me to believe that that's probably as fast as it can be done. Although our friend Link7777 completed the tool assisted speed run for this game. I'd be interested in looking at that. I haven't looked at that yet. And he says some of it goes out of bounds and all this stuff. So I'm interested in what that would end at. But
you
that,
should see if you can find that.
I'll figure it out. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to keep going then while you do that.
Yeah.
So the wooden water rage, the one loop, that one was also done by Whitman Price. That was 9 minutes and 9 seconds. So not a ton with it. I mean, pretty basic.
We should have defined what the one loop is. I didn't put it in here. Basically, when they say a loop, there are only there are an unlimited number of stages,
yes.
But only once you traverse past stage 5, the actual length of the track never extends. That's yeah. One is the shortest, 5 is the longest the track will ever be, so one loop is getting from stage 1 to stage 5 as quickly as possible.
Yes.
I'm confused about how they do that because they have, oh no, the minute timers are not, you don't have to do it in a minute, you can do it in less time.
Yes.
Never mind. Disregard.
Yes.
I'll edit that out for sure.
Sounds good.
So that's it, huh?
Yeah, and that was all from speedrun.com.
I think that's a show. I think we're good.
It's time to wrap it up.
What's the next game that we're going to play and win?
Our next one is going to be June 28th at 8 p.m. Eastern, and that is going to be Illusion of Gaia. It's a little different.
Yeah.
For the Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
Looking forward to that. I will also say that we are trying to stay consistent with the live stream, but yes. we... There may be times we may not be able to do it. So we'll let everybody know through social media if there are problems or if we have to change a date or just record it in a bubble or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But yeah, the current plan is that 2 weeks from today, we'll be back here doing Illusion of Gaia for the Super Nintendo.
There we go.
And how can people listening to us now find us?
Well, we do have a link tree.
And how do you access that?
It is linktr.ee/lostjoystick.
I don't know what any of that means.
That's a website you would go to.
What, like an old person on the computer?
Yes, you type in that website at the in the top little bar where you can type.
Can you send me the link? Tree?
Yeah. Anyway. It's linktr.ee.
I see.
/lostjoystick.
I see.
And or then, if you want to use the old school and just do social media, Instagram and Twitter is Lost Joystick. Facebook and Twitch is Lost Joystick Network. We still have an email address.
Yeah, use it.
Which is info@lostjoysticknetwork.com.
It's amazing. All new technology. So with that, I'll say, saddle up, grab your Ocean Pacific gear, maybe some Airwalks, go grind a rail, or drop a gnarly boneless. But go out there and have fun. And be safe. And be excellent to each other.